Grace to you all, and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you who join us for those early communion services will recognize that last hymn. We sing it every week. How many people sang the wrong lyrics? I just want to know if I'm alone. Thank you. That's good. I had like a pepper in a dog's nose moment when we hit the passage. All right. Wonderful. Good. We're all doing well. Do any of you remember Aesop's fables? Does that sound funny to you? I grew up calling them Aesop's fables, but then I acquired many estimable degrees and purchased many leather-bound books, and now I call it Aesop's. Do you guys know this? Do you remember Aesop, Aesop? Kind of, sort of? Show of hands if you remember this person in general, okay? And now show of hands if you grew up calling him Aesop. I'm among friends. That's good. Wonderful. I had a big book full of these stories when I was a kid, and I was fascinated by them. You might know these better than you think you do. Here are my top five. The Tortoise and the Hare, right? The Boy Who Cried Wolf, The Lion and the Mouse, The Ant and the Grasshopper. Has anybody seen that old Disney animated telling of that story? I love that, The Ant and the Grasshopper. And of course, The Goose That Laid the Golden Egg. Now do we all feel like, yes, we all know Aesop, right? These stories have pervaded the moral imagination of humanity for hundreds of years. Great, timeless stories. But they weren't just stories. They were specifically fables. Stories with a moral. A fable tells you what you should do, how you should behave. A fable teaches you how to live better. It gives wisdom. What's the moral of the story for the tortoise and the hare? You could probably say it with me. Slow and steady wins the race. We knew that one. This one's not so neat, but what about the boy who cried wolf? What's the moral of that story? It's no one believes a liar, even when they tell the truth. Well, don't the stories we heard this morning from Pastor Grangard kind of seem like fables? The story of the lost sheep? The story of the woman and the lost coin? Those sound like fable titles, don't they? And Christians are all too often tempted to treat stories in the Bible as fables. Even Jesus' life story. We look at the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the resurrection and ask, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And turn a savior into a role model, or a life coach, or a guru, someone whose example we should follow. And of course, I want people to follow Jesus, but I also want us to recognize through faith that we can only follow so far. The gospel of Jesus Christ, in the end, is not a fable. It's not a story about what we should do. It's the good news about what he, and only he, could do for us. The stories we heard this morning are parables, not fables. In fact, they're basically anti-fables. There is no practical wisdom in them at all. These are very silly stories when you're paying attention. And the characters at the heart of them are foolish. Think of the woman. She's lost one of her coins, 1/10 of her cash on hand, and she's desperate to find it. She lights her lamp. She cleans every nook and cranny of her house. This is a relatable experience for us. She searches high and low, and finally, at last, thank goodness, she finds her coin. And what does she do? If this were one of Aesop's stories, she would stow it safely with her other 9 coins and come up with a system. And we'd learn a moral like, a penny saved is a penny earned. But this is not a fable. It's a parable. It's not giving us a moral. It's giving us the gospel. It's not telling us what we should do in our daily lives. It's telling us something about what God does. how grace works. So what does the woman do in our story when she finally finds her precious lost coin? Well, she gets all her friends together, her neighbors, and throws a party to celebrate, which undoubtedly costs more than the coin she recovered. Silly. Foolish. Abundant. Generous. Joyful. But it's this other story, this other parable, this other non-fable that really has me in its grip. This is one of the fables, This is one of the stories that I feel perfectly depicts our relationship to Jesus. Not the relationship we wish we had or the one we pretend to have, but the relationship we really actually have with our aptly named Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I put this parable alongside Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave and Jesus pulling Peter out of the water, which we had just a couple weeks ago, I think. Is that right? The parable of the lost sheep is powerful in a sneaky way. Think about what actually happens in this story. A shepherd leaves 99 sheep in the wilderness, in the wild, in danger. Think cliffs and wolves. And if you're my age, throw in the quicksand that we were so worried about. Jesus leaves 99 sheep there to go looking for one lost sheep. Madness. Silliness. Foolishness. And Jesus, who's telling this story, has the gall to ask his first century audience, who is certainly much more familiar and much closer to shepherd culture than we are, who wouldn't do this? And they respond, none of us, nobody would do that. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Something nobody else would. So there's no moral here for us to follow. It is completely unwise to leave 99 sheep to the wolves in order to recover one. But Jesus' parables aren't giving us moral examples. They are giving us the gospel of grace. That's the precious pearl here that must not be lost. And the gospel in this parable is this. The shepherd carries that lost sheep back on his shoulders. Did you notice that? Carries the sheep on his shoulders. The sheep doesn't heal, doesn't hear the shepherd's voice echoing through the wilderness and come obediently running. If that were the story, it might be a fable. And the moral could be something like, always listen for a helpful voice when all seems lost. But this sheep doesn't help itself. This sheep isn't just lost. It is stubbornly, willfully lost. It has to not only be found, it must be caught and carried home. Do you know why? I think it's because the sheep doesn't think it's lost at all. Do you know anyone like that? Looking back on your own life, have you ever been that sheep, lost but unaware? Convinced you knew where you were going? The gospel is this. There is no moral to this story. This story does not give you practical advice so that you can contribute to your own salvation. This is not a guide for you to collaborate with Jesus and help find yourself. This story is a gospel promise that no matter how lost you get yourself, no matter if you are much more lost than you realize, no matter if you stubbornly refuse to answer God's call, no matter how artfully you dodge Christ's outstretched hands, he will, in the end, grab hold of you, throw you over his shoulders, and bring you out of the wilderness, back home, right where you belong. Amen.